Joshua chapter 1, I want to talk about the potential of Joshua. And admittedly, Moses was a hard act to follow, but my argument really is going to be that Moses set Joshua up, and God set Joshua up, with a lot of potential that he didn't quite realize, and yet he will still be saved. And I suppose we see in that something of ourselves. Well, verse 2, Moses my servant is dead, now therefore arise. Well, Deuteronomy 18, verse 18, I will raise them up, a prophet from among their brethren, like unto you, like unto Moses. And I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now, it is clear that this person in view was potentially Joshua. I will raise them up, a prophet from among their brethren. Well, Joshua, verse 2 here, now therefore arise. I will raise them up, a prophet. This is the same word. Like unto you. Well, Joshua's life was framed, I think, to be like that of Moses. He too, for example, was told to remove his shoe when he was on holy ground when an angel appeared to him. He was told to hold his hands up whilst Israel fought their enemies. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Several times Joshua is presented as telling Israel what God commanded him. For example, chapter 8, verse 8, according to the commandment of the Lord shall you do. See, I have commanded you. So he was set up to be this prophet, and yet he failed. Of course, his name is exactly the same as Jesus. Jesus in Hebrew would be Yehoshua, Joshua, Yahweh saves. And yet, we know that the prophecy of Deuteronomy 18, 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto Moses. The prophet like unto Moses was finally Jesus. Now, you could argue then, well, Joshua was a type of Jesus. I would look at it like this, that he could have been the prophet like Moses that was intended, but he didn't make it. He let the ball drop in a few ways, and therefore the potentials that were true for him were reapplied and rescheduled to Jesus. Now, you can call that being a type of Jesus if you wish, but that is how it arose, that he was a type of Jesus. You can see this in a lot of people. I feel that Zerubbabel, the branch from Babylon, as his name means, he could have been the fulfillment of the prophecies about the branch, but he also let the ball drop, and so again the prophecies were reapplied and fulfilled in Jesus. But sure, you could argue, well, he's a type of Jesus. But these types are not just set up for the sake of it as a pretty kind of literary feature. They arise because these men failed to be as they could have been, and so the fulfillment of the intention was reapplied to Jesus. Verse 3, I've given you every place that the sole of your foot will tread on, as I told Moses. So the idea was that wherever Joshua went, as God says to him, wherever you go, I will be with you. And so whatever place his feet trod upon would be given to Joshua, and he could then give that to Israel. But you notice the boundaries. Verse 4, whatever place the sole of your foot, Joshua's foot, will tread upon, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and to the great sea, the Mediterranean, shall be your border. So he's told that wherever he walks between the Mediterranean and the Euphrates will be given to him. Well, he never is recorded as going anywhere near the Euphrates. He was given this potential, but instead he seemed happy just with the area between the Jordan and the Mediterranean, which is a fraction, really, of the entire land that was promised to Abraham. So he's told, verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you. All the days of your life, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land, which I swore to their fathers to give them. Well, the land promised to their fathers was the land promised to Abraham, from the Mediterranean all the way to the Euphrates. And he's promised absolute victory, but it seems he doesn't actually go there. He's happier with a smaller potential. as it were, a smaller area, far smaller. So this is what I mean when I say that he didn't actually live up to the complete potential. Now, these words, I will not fail you nor forsake you, be strong and courageous, because you will inherit the kingdom, etc. These words are quoted in Hebrews 13 directly about us. They're quoted, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, of whom shall I be afraid? In other words, these words spoken to Joshua are also spoken to us. This is the unique nature of biblical history, whereby words of God to Joshua are somehow living words. They are not dry history. They apply to us, and they are applied to us in Hebrews 13, and we're told, therefore we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. And the context is, I will not fear any possible barrier to me inheriting the kingdom. And again, verse 9, be strong and courageous, don't be afraid, neither be dismayed, for Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go. You could argue that's also applied to us by Jesus in Luke 12 when he said, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And again, David seems to have taken these words to himself. Be of good courage and he will strengthen your heart. So we are in the same position as Joshua in that sense. We are offered the kingdom. And whatever you do, wherever the sole of your feet shall tread, as it were, in your pursuit of that kingdom, it will work out and God will be with you. But if your life is caught up with secular aims, this and that for my family, this and that for my bigger car, my holiday home, my better furnishings, my expensive holiday, my nicer home, and all this kind of thing, well, you will not sense that same thing of God being with you wherever you go in pursuit of those aims. And of course, the challenge is to us. We have been given the potential of inheriting the kingdom. And yet, will we be satisfied with something less? And I suppose, sadly, we all are to some degree, but it's a tragedy. Just as God wanted to give them all the land from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates, and if Joshua had set the sole of his foot upon that land, they would have got it. But he didn't. He lowered his sights, as it were, far lower. And it's not that he's not going to be saved. It's not that God did not go along with that. Eventually, when God divides up the land, he does divide it according to Joshua's vision. It was divided up between the Mediterranean and the Jordan, with the 2.5 tribes getting their inheritance that they wanted east of Jordan. But the land that is divided up according to the boundaries given is not at all the land that was promised to Abraham. So God allowed, as it were, some renegotiation of the boundaries, because he is desperate, as it were, to go along with relationship with men, even if we take a lower level. Now, that should not make us minimalists, but rather be awed by his grace and seek with our whole heart to be followers after him and to know that it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and that ultimately, with God on our side, nothing, no weakness, no addiction, no lack of resource will ever stop me doing that.